You're now tuned in to 105 Live. Hip hop and R&B lives right here.
Welcome, it's your boy C. Ruff. I'm excited to be on 105.1 Live for the Time Out Sports Podcast. On today's show, we got a lot of different topics to discuss. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball with the NBA. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL. And then I'm going to be interviewing Amaya Tucker and Jonathan Hicklin from Winston-Salem State University. So let's go ahead and get into it. We're going to talk first about LeBron James. Some know him as the King, one of the greatest players of all time. He is now 117 points away from passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the number one spot on the NBA all-time scoring list. So with that being said, it's probably going to take him 3 or 4 games to do it. Being that he missed last game, if he stays on pace, in which he's scoring this year, he will do it against the Milwaukee Bucks at home. So that would be a big deal. But we're looking forward to seeing that. You know, it's going to be televised, of course. You know, all of his family and friends are expected to be there. And that's going to be a big deal, you know, because to score almost 40,000 points in the NBA is huge. Next thing we're going to talk a little bit about is the top 5 records in the NBA currently. Number 1, you have the Boston Celtics with a record of 36-15. Number 2, you have the Denver Nuggets with a record of 34-16. Number 3, you have the Philadelphia 76ers with a record of 32-16. Number 4, you have the Milwaukee Bucks with a record of 33-17. And number 5, you have the Memphis Grizzlies with a record of 32-18. So those are the top 5 records in the league so far. For me, I feel as if we haven't really been able to see certain teams at their peak. You know, from Boston, you have injuries to Robert Williams. You have injuries to Marcus Smart. They're still trying to, you know, get their chemistry back together and get that defensive mindset where it needs to be. I think the Denver Nuggets have a strong roster. You know, from top to bottom, you have a guy like Nikola Jokic who's able to, you know, do all things. I mean, he pretty much everything but defend. But they have a lot of good pieces. You have Aaron Gordon, who's having the best season of his career so far. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is playing well. You got Michael Porter Jr. So Denver is a team that I think is probably a backup center away from being a true contender. If I were them, I'd be looking at trying to get a backup center so that if Jokic is in foul trouble, you have somebody that's able to come in and spell. Philadelphia. You got Joel Embiid, one of the best centers in the league, one of the best centers of all time. You know, he's a force on both ends. I think that, you know, it's been big that he's been able to stay healthy. James Harden has not looked great offensively, but he's a great point guard as far as passing the ball. You got young guys like Tyrese Maxey. You have Tobias Harris, who is, you know, some aren't big fans of, but he's steady. So Philly is a team that you're going to have to look at, too, when it comes down to the playoffs. Milwaukee Bucks. This is a team that I think has really had a rough season, you know, and they still have a good record. But as far as injuries go, Chris Middleton, he has just not been able to stay on the court, and he's one of the best players on their team. It's been unfortunate. Jrue Holiday, he's been in and out here lately. I think he dealt with sickness, and he missed, like, 2 weeks off and on. So they're another team that I think has a great chance of coming out of the East and winning the NBA championship, but it's pretty much going to come down to health. Giannis is Giannis. You know, he's the best player in the NBA in my estimation at this point. I just think that what he does on both sides of the ball is incredible. And the thing is, he's still not a good shooter. If he can somehow figure out how to get to 35-36% from three and become a better free throw shooter, he's going to be unstoppable. And the fifth team, as far as records, is the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 32-18, as I said. And they've been on a rough stretch lately. In their last 10 games, they've been struggling. But they still have a great record because of how good they started. So, Ja Morant, you know, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane is a guy that has more of an NFL frame, if you ask me. But he's effective. He can shoot the ball. He can defend. He can pass it. So, Memphis is a team that you're going to have to look at, too, when it comes down to the playoffs and having a chance to come out of the West. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star starters. We know that All-Star game and weekend is in February. For the Eastern Conference, you have Kyrie Irving starting at point guard. You have Donovan Mitchell at the 2, Kevin Durant at the 3, Hopefully he's healthy enough to play. Giannis at the 4 or 5, whichever way you want to say it, and Jason Tatum at the 5. Then on the west side, you have Steph Curry at the 1, Luka at the 2, LeBron at the 3, Zion Williamson at the 4, and Nikola Jokic at the 5. For me, I felt as if there were people more deserving than Zion. Zion has had a good season when he's been on the court, but I think that he's missed too many games. When you talk about missing like 21 of the 50 games, I think that you have to give a nod to people like Domantas Sabonis, who's a great passer, a great scorer. You know, he rebounds at a very high level. And also a guy that I think was deserving was Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen is having a career year, averaging about 25, 26 points per game for the Utah Jazz. And so I believe that he should have got the nod, either him or Sabonis should have got the nod over Zion, as I've stated. The next thing that we are going to discuss is the NBA trade deadline. The NBA trade deadline will take place on next Thursday, February the 9th. John Collins is a guy that I'm expecting to be moved from the Hawks. You have people like Terry Rozier, Kobe White, Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield, OG Anunoby, Russell Westbrook, Evan Fournier, Cam Reddish, and Mo Bamba. Those are just a few guys that I think, you know, probably could use a difference of scenery. When you talk about the Atlanta Hawks, they've kind of underachieved with Nate McMillan. I think that some of his rotations aren't that good. And then he also has gotten to it with Trae Young. And, you know, when they're talking about a coach and a player and a star player, more times than not, they're going to choose a star player. So I'm expecting Nate McMillan to probably be fired pretty soon. And like I said, I think that it's time for both parties to move on from John Collins. I think it'll be a good move for him, and it'll be a solid move for the Hawks. Terry Rozier down in Charlotte is a, you know, is a good scoring guard, but he's kind of played the backup role to LaMelo Ball. You know, the ball handling duties go to LaMelo. And so I think that you could probably get more out of Terry Rozier on a game-to-game basis if he was on another team. Kobe White for the Chicago Bulls. He had a lot of hype and, you know, looks coming out of UNC, but he really has not done much for the Bulls. You know, his minutes are inconsistent, and, you know, therefore his production is as well. I think there are certain teams that could use a guy like him off the bench to give them scoring punch, and so I'd be looking forward to seeing if they move on from him. Eric Gordon is a guy in Houston who is up in age. You know, he's been in the league for a long time, but he's still able to give you certain things on the offensive side of the ball, especially, you know, 3-point. He can play make a little bit. So I think he's going to get moved. The reports are that they want a first round pick for him, though. And if I'm a team, I'm not trading a first round pick for Eric Gore. I just don't think the overall value and the age is worth it at this point. Next person we're going to talk about is Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield for the Indiana Pacers. We know he's a sharp shooter. You know, he can go out there and get you 30 on any given night, 6 or 7 threes. You know, he's having a solid year, scoring the ball well. And so I just think it's time for him to move on and go somewhere else. A team that I think should give him a look is the Los Angeles Lakers. If you can somehow figure out how to package Buddy Hield and maybe a pick for Russell Westbrook, I would do that if I'm the Lakers. And it's a good move for the Pacers as well, because you will have that freedom being that Russell Westbrook is in the last year of his contract. The next person is OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby is with the Toronto Raptors, a team that I'm very disappointed in so far this season. They've underachieved. Their record is barely over 500. I mean, they're just not really doing much. And they have the talent. When you talk about Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, Fred VanVleet, OG. They have the talent, but for whatever reason, that team is not meshing. So I think that they should move on from OG and potentially Gary Trent Jr. as well. The Lakers is another team that could use Anunoby. The Bucks could use Anunoby. There's a lot of teams that could use a guy like him. But it's being reported that they want a lot of compensation for him, 2 or 3 first-round picks. I think 2 would be the absolute most that I would give up for OG Anunoby. Another guy is Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier is with the New York Knicks. He's not getting any playing time here lately in the last month or so. He's pretty much glued to the bench. Tom Thibodeau is a guy that plays his starters 40 minutes a night. And I think that's the thing that hurts him and his teams, because when it comes down to the playoffs and you're playing your guys 40 minutes a night, they're worn out. They have injuries. They're fatigued. And so I just don't think that Evan Fournier is being used to his best of his ability. Well, he's not being used at all. So he should definitely look to go somewhere else and get on the court, because he's a guy that can score the ball. You know, he can get you 20. So he should be playing. Cam Reddish is another guy that's on the New York Knicks that's in the doghouse with Tom Thibodeau. He's not getting any playing time, which I don't understand. He's a guy out of Duke, a 6'7" wing who can score it, who can defend. You know, he's able to do a multitude of things on the basketball court. And for whatever reason, Tom Thibodeau, again, does not want to play anybody but seven guys a game. And so Cam Reddish is another guy that should be looking to be moved. And, you know, get his career back on track. The last person that we're going to talk about is Mo Bamba for the Orlando Magic. Mo Bamba is a 7-foot center who is a shot blocker, who is a 3-point shooter. He's in the doghouse, or not even necessarily in the doghouse, but with the Magic, they have a lot of bigs, you know, and you can't play six power fours, you know, the minutes run out. So Mo Bamba is a guy that's not been getting playing time, but he could definitely help teams. The Lakers is another team that they could use Mo Bamba. I think the Boston Celtics could use Mo Bamba. You know, there's multiple teams that could use him. The Toronto Raptors. Toronto needs a big man. So I think that maybe you could figure out a package for OG and Mo Bamba and, you know, draft compensation. The next thing we're going to talk about before we get ready for our interviews is the NFL. We know that the NFL playoffs are going on. The Super Bowl will be in 2 weeks. And the first game we had last weekend was the Eagles against the San Francisco 49ers. That game was not close. The Philadelphia Eagles won by a score of 31-7. Like I said, it was not a match from start to finish. Brock Purdy got hurt. San Francisco 49ers rookie quarterback Brock Purdy got hurt very early in that game. And it really messed up their chemistry. It messed up their game plan. Christian McCaffrey, he actually had decent stats. He had 15 carries for 84 yards. But you can't really continue to run the ball when you're down so much in a game. So, yeah, San Francisco, I was disappointed in that effort that they gave. You know, being that it's the playoffs, it's a chance for you to go to the Super Bowl on the line. And that was a very weak performance. Philadelphia, I mean, Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate, he didn't even have to really do much. I mean, he was 15 of 25. For 121 passing yards. But the running game was the difference. And the turnovers by San Francisco were major too, as the turnover battle was lost by San Francisco 3-0. But like I said, Philly got out on them quickly. And they, you know, just continued to run the ball and sawed away the clock. Their defense, Philadelphia's defense, was very good in that game. I mean, like I said, turning San Francisco over, taking advantage of those mistakes. And so, again, Philadelphia got out of there with a pretty easy win. It's a good thing because you were able to sit down Jalen Hurts and some of your other key playmakers. You know, early third quarter, it was pretty much over. Or, you know, so by the fourth, they were sitting. And that's a good thing because we know the more that you play, the greater chance you have of getting hurt. And again, the Super Bowl is coming in 2 weeks. So Philadelphia is going to be hard to beat. The next game that we had was the better game of the weekend. You had the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs won by a score of 23-20. Patrick Mahomes, there had been a storyline about him all week. You know, how healthy was he going to be after getting rolled up? His ankle got rolled up in the previous week, but he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked like he was at least 70%. And see, Patrick Mahomes is not necessarily a guy that has to be healthy for him to be effective, because he doesn't depend on running. The only thing that I did worry about was he does use his legs in this aspect. When he's trying to keep a play alive, he'll run out the pocket just a little bit and keep his eyes downfield. So I was worried about that in his health. But like I said, he looked like he was at least 70%, so it wasn't really an issue. The Kansas City Chiefs had no running game in that ball game. But it didn't really matter because Patrick did what he needed to do. He had 326 passing yards, Marquez Valdez-Scantling had a big game, pretty much his best game of the season. He had 6 receptions for 116 receiving yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, Mr. Reliable, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He had 7 catches for 78 yards and 1 touchdown. And the thing also was, Patrick Mahomes did a great job of checking it down. You know, when you're a little bit gimpy, your ankle's hurt, and you're not trying to really run or get sacked, you have to use your running backs, and he did a great job of doing that. Isaiah Pacheco had 5 catches for 59 yards, and Jared McKinnon had another 2 catches for 17 yards. So Pat did a great job of dropping the ball off and, you know, getting that thing rolling. So now we have the Super Bowl coming, like I said, in 2 weeks. That Super Bowl predictions and stuff like that will happen on next week's show in more depth. But from the Cincinnati side of the ball in that matchup, Joe Burrow struggled by turning the ball over. One thing you can't do against Patrick Mahomes is turn the ball over, because we know he's efficient. And Joe Burrow had 26 completions out of 41 attempts for 270 yards, but he had only 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. So that was a problem for the Bengals in that game. He also was sacked 5 times. And we know that the Bengals line is a problem. You have to, so that's something they're going to have to look at again in the offseason. Joe Mixon had a down season this year. He only had 8 rushes in this game for 19 yards. That was not going to get it done, and it didn't. I think Joe Mixon's going to have to look in the mirror and figure out what happened with him this year. Why was he not as productive? Because they need him to be, you know, a guy that's getting you 13, 14, 1,500 yards, and he didn't even, I don't think he reached 1,000 on the season. So that was an issue. T. Higgins had a solid game, 6 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. Jamar Chase had 6 catches for 75 yards, but no touchdowns. Like I said, neither team really ran the ball effectively, but Kansas City was just able to make more plays, and they took better care of the football in the end. And they got out of there with the win. So again, we now have the Super Bowl coming next Sunday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Make sure to tune in for next week's show as I will go in depth on that matchup. The next thing that we have to discuss is Candace Parker, WNBA legend Candace Parker. She decided over the weekend to post on Instagram and break the internet that she was going to the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA champs. Candace Parker is now 36, so she's not in her, you know, prime, but she's still playing at a very high level. I would say she's probably a top 10 player still, you know, and so that was a big deal for her to decide to go to Las Vegas in free agency. They now have 2 of the greatest power forwards to ever play that's going to be teammates in Asia Wilson and Candace. You know, you have Kelce Plum on that team. You have Chelsea Gray on that team. So they have a really solid roster. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat them this year coming up. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the other moves in free agency. That will kind of determine, you know, who's able to be a competitor when it comes down to winning the WNBA championship. WNBA free agency, like I said, is going to start on tomorrow. It's going to start on tomorrow. There's certain names that I'm intrigued to see where they land, like Breonna Stewart, Nneka Ogumike, Courtney Vandersloot, Tina Charles, Lexi Brown, and Azura Stevens. So make sure you, you know, tune in to WNBA free agency on tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and see where some of those ladies land. The last thing I'm going to talk about before we get into the interviews is my rough rant. You all that follow me know that I do a rant every week, something that is bothering me, whether it's sports or life in general. This week I got to talk about soft NBA players, NFL players. Why are we not able to trash talk anymore? Back in the day, you had guys like Spike Lee. He's still doing it. You had Jack Nicholson that went to the games, and he talked a lot of trash. It wasn't anything necessarily dirty, but it was trash talk. You know, you sorry, you too small. You know, stuff like that should be good. I mean, that's what, you're getting paid millions of dollars, and you have an issue with trash talk. So my issue this week is with Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, T. Morant, all of those Memphis Grizzlies. that acted as if they wanted to fight Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp because he said that Dillon Brooks was too small to guard LeBron. Come on, man. I mean, that was the truth. So why do you want to fight over that? That was the truth. It's just normal trash talk. Got to put trash talk back in sports. That's one of the reasons why the product is, you know, not what it used to be. But we'll see. We'll see. So now we're getting ready to jump into our interview. Our first interview of the day, we have Amaya Tucker, Winston-Salem State guard. Hey, Amaya, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing good. So I'm glad to have you on the show today. We're going to jump into a few different topics, and I'm going to let you enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, I appreciate you, man.
So, first off, how are you feeling? I know that there's a lot of injuries and stuff going on with the Lady Rams. How are you feeling personally, you know, physically and, you know, kind of emotionally and mentally?
I'm pretty all around, you know. I know that this past game we didn't have, you know, everyone due to some health problems with the team, but as far as myself personally, I'm doing pretty good, you know, physically, you know, emotionally and mentally. You know, it is getting towards the end of the season, you know, and basically towards the end of the season, you know, I feel like players, you know, tend to be you know, like more stressed, you know, and just ready for the season, you know, to be over with. But I will honestly say that I'm feeling pretty good about where we are as a team right now. You know, we got the tournament coming up next month, so really just looking forward to the tournament and getting back out there on the court.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk to you is about your major accomplishment that you recently had. You became one of 10 Lady Rams, as I call them, as everybody pretty much calls them, to score 1,000 career points. And you're also 7th all-time on that scoring list. You know, what does that mean to you? And, you know, how did it feel accomplishing that?
It means a lot. You know, coming in, that's something that I wanted to accomplish personally. It was just a really great moment to, you know, have received it, you know, and just accomplish that milestone. You know, I can't thank anyone but my teammates, you know, and my coaches for, you know, always just believing me and pushing me. You know, my season's here at Winston, it's really been a journey, you know, dealing with injuries, you know, back-to-back, you know, and then having COVID. So at first I was kind of nervous, more so, you know, about not getting, you know, the 1,000 points and whatnot, but, you know, with my eligibility and having, you know, those 2 extra years, that definitely helped me out a lot. So, but yeah, honestly, I just felt great about it. It was just a great moment, you know, being out there, you know, and just receiving the ball, you know, having my family out there to support. So it was really just a great feeling.
Right. So you talked a little bit about, you know, missing time due to injury and due to COVID. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with, you know, being injured, you know, because I think you've been injured a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about a roll anchor that keeps you out a week, but kind of major injuries. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? You know, what is your, I guess you would say, remedy? What do you do in those times? You know, because I know that you really love to play basketball and you want to be out there on the floor with your teammates. So what are some of the things you do to deal with that?
Right. I know the injury that I had my sophomore year, I think that one was really a biggie. I've never been hurt to the point where I've had to sit out a season. So this was really like my first serious injury. Well, that was my first serious injury. So with that, you know, I just kind of just mentally just try to stay focused, you know, regardless if I wasn't playing, and I knew that I needed to still, you know, be a leader. You know, and just be a leader from the bench, you know, do whatever I could, you know, still be engaged, you know, with the team and whatnot. And I will say it was hard, you know, not being on the court. You know, like I said, I've never had to, you know, sit out any games and whatnot and practices. So that was just really a tough one. But honestly, just still trying to be there for my teammates any way I can. I know with last season, you know, getting hurt at the end of the tournament, that was just, it was just frustrating, you know, and especially going up against a good team, you know, with Lincoln, and then, you know, only losing by four, you know, that was just, it was just, you know, one of those, just those tough moments. It's just one of those things where you kind of, like, question, like, dang, like, why is this happening, you know, but especially, you know, talking with coach and, you know, my family and whatnot, and you know, just having, you know, a strong faith in God, you know, you just have to realize that, you know, everything happens for a reason and whatnot. And I think this season, you know, I've started, you know, to prove myself, you know, and I've actually tried to stay healthy, you know, all throughout the year. So it was really just, you know, a setback, you know, for a major comeback. It's kind of like what I had to, you know, think and, you know, put in perspective. You know, injuries are part of the game and whatnot, and sometimes, you know, you can't control how things turn out. So yeah, just trying to stay in a positive mindset.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, you're a woman of faith, and we, you know, we're in the same boat on that. You know, I have great belief in God, and, you know, that he won't put too much on me or more on me than I can bear. So next thing that I wanted to touch on was, it's already kind of been announced that you're coming back next year. You know, what was that decision like? And, you know, what are you looking to accomplish in your final season of eligibility?
Tough decision. I knew that, you know, I kind of wanted to come back. Well, at first I was kind of like hesitant. I really wasn't sure, you know, what I wanted to do after this season. You know, and just talking with my family and whatnot, you know, they really just kind of harped on, you know, I do have extra years, so, you know, what more harm can be done? You know, I could just use it, you know, potentially, you know, after I leave Winston, I do want to play professional basketball overseas. So I think with this extra year that I have, you know, just getting more film, getting my name out and whatnot, but I know for next season I definitely want to be the all-time scoring Lady Ram, as everyone calls it. So I think with that extra year, you know, I can definitely do it. I know with this season there's a couple more personal things that I want to accomplish, you know, besides, you know, winning a ring or whatnot, but I'm trying to be the all-time three-point leading at Winston as well. So just a couple different, you know, personal milestones that I set for myself that I think that I can accomplish within this year and next year.
Right. So you talk about wanting to play overseas after next season. How difficult would that be for you? Because I'm a person that, you know, I have a certain circle that it would kind of be hard for me to move that far away. Mm-hmm. You know, for you, how tough do you think that's going to be? And what do you think you'll do to, you know, make that adjustment as easy as possible?
Yeah, so I've really been in Winston all my life. So, you know, just being that far away from home and whatnot, that'll probably be a big thing, you know, not being able to see my family as much as I would, you know, like to. But I think it's just a new experience and whatnot. I've always wanted to travel, so I think just being able to, you know, visit different countries and whatnot, seeing the world, I think that's one of the main things why I wanted to play overseas, is definitely because I wanted to travel and whatnot. But I think, you know, just getting, you know, just used to the different, you know, cultures there and whatnot. But I think just not being able to see my family, that'll probably just be the biggest adjustment. I know my mom is probably going to be driving herself crazy and whatnot, me being in, you know, a different country. But I think it's just also exciting to, you know, get to experience that traveling, and then also, you know, playing at the same time. And, you know, just looking at, you know, Robert Cologne, you know, and what he's done playing overseas, you know, so that's just something that I've always wanted to do growing up.
Right. The next thing is, we know about that atmosphere in Sea Games Center. You know, I believe it's unmatched. You know what? So talk a little bit about, talk to somebody that may have never been to a game in Games. Talk to them about what that atmosphere is like. And also talk from a perspective of how, you know, how important is it for players, you know, like yourself, you know, how does it help you? Does it really help you? You know, maybe if you're having a bad game or you're having a bad day, does the support and the environment really, you know, play dividends? Talk a little bit about that whole dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. So the CE Game Center is just, the atmosphere is crazy. You know, for the people who haven't been, it's definitely the hardest gym to play in the CI, in my opinion. You know, and me, myself, I always feel bad for, you know, the opponents who come and are playing against us, because, you know, our student section, you know, our fans, they get rowdy, you know, they're so into the game. But I think as players, it definitely helps you, you know, the crowd being so into it and whatnot, it really hypes you up. And I'm one of those players who thrives in atmospheres like that. Like the energy of the crowd, you know, the fans and stuff, it kind of just, it gets me hype and it gets me in the zone. So that's something that I really love about the CE Game Center, and that's something that I'm definitely going to miss, you know, when my time is up here. But, you know, just having the student section, you know, you have the DJ, you have the cheerleaders, you have the friends and the sororities, you have the fans, you know, and just, you know, being able to see everyone fill up, you know, the whole CE Game Center is just amazing. Not just for the men's game, but also for the women. One thing about games is if you want to come to see the men play, you're going to have to see us play. If not, you're just going to have to be standing outside, you know, waiting in line. So just really having that support and whatnot has really been great for me, you know, as a player. And I think it'll be great, you know, for other players coming in and just getting to, you know, witness what it's really like playing in the gym.
Right. So I'm a big advocate of the WNBA and women's hoops in general. You know, I do my best to support those that lead, and, you know, even like you said, yourself and other ladies that's hooping. What would you say to those that say, you know, I don't really want to watch the ladies hoop because they're not dunking and, you know, that sort of thing? What would you say to them in that, you know?
You know, I think that's one of the biggest problems with the sports industry, you know, especially with basketball. You know, women's sports, you know, we're more fundamental. We're gonna do the fundamentals. We're not gonna be doing all that, you know, flashy stuff and dunking. But the women's games, they're just as interesting, they're just as fun to watch, you know, as the men. It is honestly, it's just kinda sad, you know, that's, you know, people don't support, you know, women's sports, and not even just basketball, but just women sports in general, like they do the men. But, you know, there are, you know, people who do advocate for women's sports and whatnot, you know, different celebrities and whatnot, even, you know, professional men's basketball players, you know, as you see, you know, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, you know, Chris Paul, you know, having big names like that definitely helps, you know, just get the women's sports industry out there, you know, so everyone can really, you know, watch and just, you know, realize that, you know, we're just as important as the men, you know, we're just as, you know, fun to watch, you know. At the same time, you know, just like the men go out there and compete, so do the women, and we're going to try to give you guys a show every time. So, yeah.
Right. So, back on CE Game Center, like we talked about how, you know, how lit, you know, that environment is. What would be a one game that sticks out for you where, you know, it was just crazy, whether it was, you know, packed out, was your reasoning behind this game sticking out, or just, you know, the environment in general? Is there one game that kind of sticks out in your team at Winston-Salem State?
Yes, definitely. It's always the Fayetteville games. Always the Fayetteville. For one, Fayetteville, you know, they're going to bring their own bus of fans, you know, every year or whatnot. You know, and then as well as our students and our fans that come out and just pack out the gym. I know when we played them at home not too long ago, it was sold out. You know, people couldn't even, you know, buy tickets. They were selling 100 tickets at the door, and that was it. You know, all the tickets online were already sold out. So it's definitely the Fayetteville game. You know, that's always a big game every year. Between us and Fayetteville, and even at Fayetteville, you know, Winston, we're always going to travel, so, you know, we're always going to bring our people there too as well. But I feel like every time Fayetteville comes to us, it's always a sold out game.
Absolutely. And last thing I wanted to ask you about on today's show is favorite hoopers? Who were some of your favorite hoopers to watch when you were growing up, and, you know, even some that you may study now?
Definitely growing up, I used to love Chris Paul. I loved Chris Paul. He was definitely my favorite athlete. For one, you know, his ability to, you know, facilitate and get his teammates involved. You know, growing up, I was a point guard. I wasn't a shooting guard, and I never really, you know, focused on myself, you know, scoring. I always wanted to get my teammates involved. So growing up, I think I tried to, you know, resemble my game after Chris Paul. And then I know in the WNBA, I always liked Maya Moore. She was just a tough player. And I just watching her play, honestly. I would say now, I'm not sure if I have a favorite player now, honestly. I kind of just watch just to, you know, watch. But I would say I do like Stephen Curry, definitely. Just his ability to score is just, you know, out of this world. You know, his shooting ability is just ridiculous. So definitely Curry, Kyrie. The way that he finishes is just phenomenal. It's like, I don't know how he's able to finish, you know, the way he does, you know, and just maneuver, you know, on and off the court and whatnot. But yeah, definitely those two players I definitely love to watch.
Absolutely. Great, great choices. So, Amaya, I appreciate you taking the time to come on to the show today. Wishing the best of luck the rest of the season, and I'm going to be in attendance for the 18th game on the 18th. So let's get the win. Absolutely. Take care. Next up, we have an interview with Jonathan Hickler, Winston-Salem State guard. And so we're getting ready to get right into that one.
Hello.
What's going on, Jonathan? How are you?
Good. How you doing? What's going on?
Doing pretty good. So I appreciate you for taking the time to join me on the show today. We're going to jump right into a few topics. So talk to us a little bit about your intro to hoops. You know, what age did you start playing, and, you know, how did that come about?
Man, I started playing basketball when I was like five. I've been playing since I was five. I play every sport, of course. Baseball, football. So I didn't play soccer. I played all the sports. I just was better at basketball, of course. And my two best sports was basketball and baseball. But basketball came more natural, so I've been playing basketball, you know, pretty much all my life.
Okay. Now, were you somebody that was kind of tall as a kid, you know, when you first started, or, you know, were you somebody that was on the shorter end, and, you know, because now you played, you know, I think the two?
Yeah. I was definitely, most definitely tall when I was growing up. I was taller than everybody, so I played like the five, and I was trash. But I was good. I was all right. So I was just blocking shots and laying the ball up. That's all I did when I was real young playing park and rec. I was just blocking shots and doing layups. And really, that was all I was doing because I was just taller than everybody.
Right. Okay. So who were some of those players, you know, when you're 7 years old, maybe you're 10 years old, you know, you're still playing, you're growing up. Who were some of those maybe NBA players or players that weren't even in the NBA that you kind of looked up to and, you know, tried to learn things from?
Yeah, I looked up to LeBron. I was a big LeBron fan. So that's where I get, like, I like to pass. You know, if you don't, people that know me and know, I like to pass. So I like to see everybody eat. I like to pass. And I watched John Wall at that time. He was at Kentucky. So then with my two main influences, really, with basketball, was just John Wall and LeBron.
Both of those are, you know, pass first players, like you said, LeBron. It's crazy that LeBron's going to be the all-time leading scorer, and he really does like to pass most.
Right.
So the next thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, what were some of your college offers and what ultimately led to you ending up at James Madison originally?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't have no, all I had one offer, and that was James Madison coming out of high school at the time. I had like a lot of interest, of course, at the time, but I seen everybody, you know, committing, and it was late in the year, so I seen everybody committing, And I was like, I ain't want to wait. You know what I mean? I ain't want to, you know, I could have waited and worked out for some schools or whatever, but I ain't want to wait. I just took the first offer that came to me, and that was actually the first offer that came to me. So I just took that, and I went to James Madison. That's how I ended up there.
All right, okay. Yeah, you go ahead and lock down something.
Yeah, man. That's all it was, when to lock down something, man. You know, I could have been patient and just waited. Could have got something better for me, but everything happens for a reason, so.
Absolutely. So then you transferred to Winston-Salem State after a semester at James Madison. What was that decision like? Why did you ultimately decide to come to Winston?
When I left James Madison after that semester, I really didn't know where I was going to go. You know, I got in the portal and I was getting hit up for like a couple D2s. I got hit up for a JUCO in Mexico. And I didn't really know where I wanted to go, really. And I actually forgot that Coach Lance Bevel, that's an assistant coach at Winston, he was my AAU coach. I played for Team Wall. So he was my coach for Team Wall. So when I transferred, he had called me and was like, yo, you leaving? I was like, yeah. And at the time, it just clicked like, oh, you got the job at Winston. I forgot. So once he said that, you know, I trust Lance. That's my guy. So I trust Lance. And he said, come to Winston. And it was a no-brainer. I was like, yeah, I'm married. You let me know what I need to do. So that's how I ended up at Winston.
Okay. How did it feel? Talk to us a little bit about how it felt to win that CIAA championship. And how bad, you know, do you want another one?
Man, it felt great winning the championship. Knowing the circumstances, like any other team, you go through a lot during the season. So to be successful with the ultimate goal that you want to do after the season, win the championship, it felt great. And, you know, everybody bonded, just came in as one. And to win, you know, we did what we had to do. I'm hungry for another. I gotta get another one before I leave. And this is my only shot to get it. It's my last shot to get it. So man, we hungry and we all want the same goal. So we got the team to do it. So we really battling every day in practice and we showing it on the court as well that we really want another.
Right. Okay, so I talked to Amaya previously a few minutes ago about the atmosphere in games. We know that. I believe, you know, and it's pretty much believed by all Rams that the CIAA Game Center atmosphere, you know, how us as fans and even, you know, people that act as media, how we, you know, we do our best to make sure that atmosphere is amazing. And, you know, because I think that makes a difference. So can you talk to us from a player's perspective about how, you know, how is that environment? If somebody's listening that's never been to a game in the CIAA Game Center, talk to us a little bit about that environment. And then also talk about, you know, the importance of it, you know, how does it really make a difference?
Right. Yeah, man, the atmosphere is insane. Like, I'm looking at it because when I first came to Winston, I sat there the rest of that semester. I came in the second semester and I sat. So when I'm sitting there, like, on the bench watching the game, it's like I'm sweating on the bench and I'm not even playing. And it's like I'm anxious to play because that's how, like, crazy and intense it is. Like, everybody right there on the court, on your neck, and it's live, it's lit. You know, I ain't know whether I wanted to cheer my teammates on or start dancing because that's how the atmosphere is in there. It's just crazy. And it benefits us as a team because it's the crowd on our back. You know, they're doing, it's a lot to come in games and focus on playing and then focus on not talking back to the crowd and doing stuff like that. So it benefits us. It helps us. And all in all, it gives us that extra boost. And it's just fun playing in there.
Yeah, man, it's different. It really is.
Yeah.
So, on that same subject, what is the best game environment of your career at games? You know, is there one game that kind of sticks out?
Right. The game against Fayetteville State, that's when I hit the game winner. That's going to be my all-time favorite, you know, moment at games, just because of what was at stake. And of course, it being in games and a rivalry between us and Fayetteville State, it was crazy. And we didn't pull off, you know, a game winner at the buzzer. It was insane. Everybody rushed the crowd. It was crazy. But I will say, any game against Livingstone as well, that's always crazy. So it's just, I like the atmosphere where it's competitive. Both teams are good, and it's probably with, you know, the fans, and it's a lot at stake. So I will say between the Livingstone games and Fayetteville State game.
Right, those are two major matchups. It's always, like you said, very exciting, very packed out. We had a listener question from my guy Keith, and he asked, what would be the perfect ending to your final season at Winston-Salem State?
Man, perfect ending would be winning a national championship and a CIAA championship. That would be the perfect ending. We win out the rest of the season. We go to Baltimore, win the CIAA championship, get a bid into the national championship, and go on to win that. That would be like a dream come. That would be a perfect ending for me for my career at Winston.
Yeah, those are big goals, but you got to dream big. So I wanted to ask you about, you know, Cameron Campbell. I know that y'all are very close. Talk a little bit about that brotherhood and, you know, what some of those workout sessions are like.
Man, Cam, that's my guy, man. That's my twin, that's my bro. He came in the year after we won or whatever. He came in and we was roommates, and we just bonded from day one. It was, we just all had a similar goal of what we wanted to do, similar, you know, mindset. And, you know, of course, with the bond off the court, we had that bond on the court as well. So when we got in the gym to work out, we wasn't in there, like, you know, going through the most. We go in there and really work out. We compete. A lot of people don't know when we go in the gym, we always play ones, man. We go at it. You know what I mean? Three spots, three dribbles. You know, we end up playing like 10 spots because, you know, nobody, we don't like to lose. And it's just, we always compete with each other. And I love playing with Cam. That's my guy. He like family for real. So I vouch for him at any time.
Right, right. So you're now playing for Coach Hill, Coach Cleo Hill. You know, comes from royalty. I mean, when you talk about Winston-Salem State and as a basketball player, real good guy, and I've interviewed him before. And so talk a little bit about Coach here. What is he like as a coach? And maybe what's the best advice he's given you?
Man, Coach Hill is a great coach. I love playing with Coach Hill because coming in, first of all, when I came in from James Madison, you know, how I went in and talked to him, you know, and the first thing he said was he didn't care about, you know, what happened there? What happened in my old school? We got a clean slate here. I can only judge you off of what you, he can only judge me off of what I do from this point forward. So I respect him from that from day one because he never asked about, you know, what happened in the past and never judged me about that. And he let you play, he let me play my game since I came in. He was always encouraging me to, you know, do more, of course, and encouraging me to play my game. He never sit me and make me do, like, you need to do this one thing, you need to do this one thing. He let me just play my game, and I respect that from Coach Hill, and I love playing for him.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so the last thing that I wanted to ask is, what advice would you give, you know, maybe a 12 or 13-year-old who has aspirations of, first I would ask a 12 or 13-year-old who has aspirations of playing at the collegiate level, and second, for somebody who may be 16 or 17 looking to play at the collegiate level, and like you said, you didn't have many offers originally. What advice would you give to both of those situations?
The advice I would give is just to be patient and don't rush nothing, and ask the questions. You know, ask the questions that's necessary that you need to ask about, you know, ask the players when you go on your visits, ask them, like, how is it? You know what I'm saying? How are the coaches? Ask the coaches, like, what do you need from me? Like, if I come in here, what do you want from me? You know, don't beat around the bush because, you know, it's ultimately your career that's at stake. So you need to know 100% what's going on and what's not going on, what they need from you. I would just say just ask some questions. Just ask questions.
Right, okay. The last thing is, you know, is there anything that you would like to tell Ram, you know, the Rambly, as we call it, Ram fans, and also, drop your social media. How can people stay in touch with you, and see, you know, see what you have going on?
Yeah, you can stay in touch with me. My Instagram is jhickey_j
HICKIE underscore. That's my Instagram. And my Twitter is OG Johnny Boy, OGJO3NNNYBOY. That's my Twitter. You know, you can reach anybody who's, you know, if you want to, you reach out, ask questions. You know, I'm always on the ground, I'm always on social media, so I'm responding. You know, I respond if you reach out to me. I'm not that kind of guy who don't check, you know, social medias or whatever. I always check and I always respond. Anybody who need, you know, help, boy. I need an answer to any question, man. Message to the Ramley, man. Just I appreciate everybody from, you know, the coaching staff, the players, everybody that I played with, the fans. I appreciate everybody. And I wouldn't trade this for nothing. I love my 4 years here, or 5 years, because of COVID, whatever. My 5 years here, I loved it. And I wouldn't trade this moment or this time I had at Winston for nothing. And we're going to win this chip for y'all. I'm going to keep playing hard. We're going to finish out with a bang. And we're going to keep pushing forward.
Right. I thought about it when you just said that COVID year. Talk a little bit about, man, how tough was that? Because when I got the news on that, I was like, come on, man. Yeah, that hurt right there.
It was tough. It was tough. Because when it first, when we first got hit with the news, it was actually after we won. The CIAA, we won. We was, we had won the CIAA, and then we were on the way to, we went to IUP. And that's what we were supposed to play in the first round of the national tournament. And we ended up getting there, practicing, and then hearing that we wasn't gonna play. So we were devastated about that. And we had to get right back on the bus, come right back to Winston. And then coming to find out the next season was canceled, and we were sick. We had a good team that year, a lot of guys who were ready to go. And we was upset about it, but you know, life goes on, and we had to just take that on the chin and just be prepared for what was next.
Right, yeah. Look at it as, you know, more time to get ready for the next year.
Right.
Well, again, I appreciate you for taking the time to come on the show. Best of luck the rest of the way this season. And me, myself, is planning on attending the game on the 18th. So hopefully we can definitely get that win.
Oh, yes, sir. Appreciate that.
All right, again, appreciate you for coming on the show. Take care.
Thank you for having me. Yes, sir.
So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this show is about to wrap. I do want to thank everybody that listened, that tuned in. Make sure to follow the Time Out Sports YouTube channel at Time Out Sports Podcast. Follow us on Spotify and iTunes at Time Out Sports Podcast. The Twitter account, you can find me there, where I post a lot of sports content, whether it's polls or it's news, all kind of stuff. You can find us there at Time Out Sports 3. Instagram, Time Out Sports with two underscores. So many things to run out. Also, make sure that you are following WNBA League Fits. That is a page that I started to highlight the fashion of the ladies in the WNBA. Follow that Twitter at Fits underscore WNBA. And the Instagram is WNBA League Fits. And last but not least, 2023 is going to be a great year. I just started a merchandise brand, MITM, and that stands for Millionaire in the Making. You can follow that Instagram page at MITM.2023, and you can reach out to me in regards to ordering your merchandise. We will have shirts coming available soon, very soon. We're taking pre-orders now, but there will be a website and all of that. So if you're somebody that dreams big, you know, make sure to tap in with me on that brand. And like I said, 2023 is going to be a great year. 1 month is down pretty much, but it's 11 more to go. And I'm expecting it to be the best year thus far. So again, I do appreciate everybody for tuning in to the Time Out Sports Podcast on 105.1 Live. And I'll see you again here, same times, next week. God bless.
You're now tuned in to 105 Live. Hip-hop and R&B lives right here.